Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s. Greetings, Southern California. Welcome to the two-hour expanded edition of Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s. Unless you're listening Tuesday from 6 to 7 p.m., when our first hour is being rebroadcast in April of 1988. Otherwise, if you're listening another month or another year, hello. Welcome to the show. Today's a very critical topic, definitely an advanced astrological topic for all of you patient listeners. The topic today is basically called Zones of Influence, and I'm going to try to teach you how to feel your natal chart. That's right. Actually looking at any single degree, any single sign on your natal chart, and feeling the vibration of what a transiting planet, a moving planet in the sky, would do to the rest of your chart. So we're going to learn about all of our zones of influence in the chart. Basically, if, in case you're wondering what a zone of influence is, I'll give you an example. Let's take, in my chart, for example, a zone between 0 Aries and 10 Aries, which I have no planets, right? But because I have my zones of influence all memorized, I am well aware at this point that whenever anything goes into 0 Aries, it is square my Uranus in Gemini, it is about to square my Venus in Cancer, and when it goes all the way to 5 Aries, it will exactly square my Venus. When it goes to 10 degrees Aries, it will oppose my Neptune in Libra and oppose my Mars in Libra. So, see, it's more important, actually, besides just knowing where your planets are by signs and houses. One of the reasons why I tell you to memorize your planets is so you will one day be able to aspect every single degree in the entire zodiac to anything in your chart. That way, that is really the only true, authentic way that you as a listener and a student can one day evolve to a level where you will know where any planet is in the universe. Any one of the 12 zodiac signs, Aries through Pisces, any one of the 360 degrees, exactly what that planet is doing to any other natal planet in your chart. So that's why we call today's show Zones of Influence. See, like, it's important to understand a couple things. Astrology, in my opinion, is a science because it deals with numbers, it deals with astronomy, planetary locations, navigational maps, the natal chart, right? And we interpret the movement of the planets in a psychological correlation manner where over the centuries and over the eons, over the decades and the great months and the ages, of course, we have learned that planetary locations natally mean something. We've also learned that planets traveling through the signs also mean something. So what is important about astrology as a science, in my opinion, is in order for us to pinpoint its true meaning, we must really get down what it means for a planet to be in the sky at any single 1 degree location and what that planet does to our charts. I'll give you an example. Let's say you have a planet at 15 degrees Taurus in your chart. Well, that planet, for example, would be in trine to anything in the Earth signs, 15 Capricorn or Virgo, would be in square to any one of the two fixed signs squaring Taurus, which would be Leo or Aquarius, 15 degrees, would be in opposition to anything in Scorpio at 15 degrees. Of course, there's an 8-degree orb on either side when we talk about squares, trines, or oppositions. So, understanding zones of influence for example, a planet in your chart at 15 Taurus, you would start to get the feeling knowing that if a planet was at 15 Gemini, it would be semi-sextile your planet at 15 Taurus, which is a miniature dharmic vibration. If that planet was at 60 degrees away from Taurus, meaning either 15 degrees Cancer or 15 degrees Pisces, right, it would be sextile that Taurus planet at 15 degrees. And then if it was over there in Leo or Aquarius, at 15 degrees, then it's squaring that Taurus planet. And then if it gets over to the other Earth signs, Capricorn or Virgo at 15 degrees, it's trine it. And then if we get over here to Libra or Sagittarius, 15 degrees would be in conjunct or quinx that Taurus planet at 15. See how it works? So what you need to do really is zero in on the zones of influence, right? From any one single planet in your chart, what you have to do is find the areas in your chart where that planet is semi-sextile, sextile, squared, trined, in conjunct, or opposed, or eventually conjunct, right? So there's six things to be aware of. A conjunction means there's a planet in the sky sitting right on top of a planet in your chart. And a semi-sextile means there's a planet in the sky exactly one full sign away or 30 exact degrees away from a planet in your chart. And a sextile would mean that there's a planet in the sky that is two full signs or 60 total degrees away from a single planet in your chart. Now, these identifications are called aspects. And obviously, if you haven't read your study guide, How Horoscopes Work, and you haven't studied your aspects in that section, then you're not going to know what I'm talking about. So this show is definitely advanced, and it's definitely reserved for the students of the Astrology Hour. And for you new listeners, in case you're wondering, this is the type of show you want to record. So if you don't understand what I'm talking about, at 6 o'clock tonight, you should record this show. And then one day, as you're studying astrology, this material will become handy to you as we discuss this advanced topic, zones of influence. But be forewarned that the Astrology Hour is an astrological metaphysical radio show correspondence course to help teach you, the listener, what astrology and metaphysics and the laws of karma are all about. So this is not your typical sun sign astrology show. We do forecasts here, but we don't really do them like you would see in the newspaper or magazines. What we do is we actually go into astrology, the planetary aspect of astrology, beyond sun signs, including the sun sign, of course, and teach people what that means. Let's continue with these transit aspects. If a planet in the sky is three full signs, or 90 total degrees away from any single planet in your chart, that is called a square aspect. And just in case you want to draw in lines to aspect, for example, the natal planets in your chart, if you wondered what the colored codes were for aspect, let me just segue here. Color codes for aspects, if you want to connect your planets, first of all, a semi-sextile would be like a turquoise or a light green, and a sextile is a dark green, and then a square would be red, and then a trine would be bright, thick blue, and then an inconjunct would be bright yellow, which is also called a quinx, and an opposition is orange. There's no color for a conjunction. It's just a circle with a little slash through the circle at 1 o'clock, right through it. Now, let's get back to this. So if there's a planet in the sky, right, and it's four full signs away from a planet in your chart, that transit aspect is called a trine, and that would be either 120 degrees away or four full signs. And then an inconjunct is five full signs away, or 150 degrees. And then an opposition would be six full signs away, or exactly opposite a planet in your chart, or 180 degrees. Now that you've got all that down, and I know it was a little complicated for some of you, some of you are saying, oh, Farley, I have no idea exactly which time. Would you please repeat that for the, okay, it's going to be repeated at 6 o'clock. Okay, so basically, what this show is really all about, let's say you're looking at your chart, right? You're looking at the wheel. You can find any area in that chart, any particular zone in the chart. The point of today's show, what I want you to do, and this is not something you're going to get overnight, is I want you to be able to look at any one of the 12 signs in your chart, any one of the 12 signs in your wheel. And knowing there's 30 degrees in each sign, what I want you to eventually do, and this is going to take some practice, is I want you to start to get the feel what goes on when a planet hits a particular zone in your chart. Like usually, typically, what I'm talking about here is a zone in your chart that is void of natal planets. Like I want you to get the feel that if you have water in your chart, if you have Scorpio or Pisces in your chart, and there's a Cancer moon transit, that you're going to pick up trines from that transiting moon. That means you're going to understand that zone of influence as basically positive because you're going to get trines from that Cancer moon. Now, at the same time, see, Cancer has a different vibration feeling for everyone because I know a lot of people that have Scorpio and Pisces planets in their chart, but they were born in the 50s. So they also have Uranus in Cancer and some Libra planets like Neptune or Saturn. So when the moon goes into Cancer, it'll not only conjunct their Uranus, it'll square their Libra planets, but it'll grand trine their Pisces Scorpio. So really, you can get the feel of how complicated a particular day can go, good times or bad times, for example, just by following the moon through the signs and to understand the zone of influence. Like, for example, the moon today, let's say it's in Scorpio at 25 degrees. Well, what does that do to your chart, Farley? Well, I happen to know my zones of influence, and I know that a Scorpio moon at 25 degrees is exactly square my Saturn at 25 Leo. Doesn't do anything else to my chart because there's nothing else in my chart that's at 25 degrees. So really, today's topic is a topic to understand numbers. If you know, for example, also let's say that Jupiter is at 6 Taurus, then what you want to do is run around and look to see if there's anything in your chart around 6 degrees in any sign. See, let's say you have a Libra planet at 6 degrees, like Venus. Well, you count over. Taurus is how many signs away from Libra? Well, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, Leo, Virgo, Libra is 5 signs away So a planet at 6 degrees Libra would be 150 degrees, because 5 signs times 30 for each sign is 150 degrees. So that Jupiter at 6 Taurus would be in conjunct or quinx your Venus at 6 Libra. See, like today's topic is interesting because it's a topic about numbers. And if you want to really benefit from the Astrology Hour, what I want you to understand that when I do the planetary news, for example, at the beginning of the show, at 12 noon every day is when you get that planetary news location, what happens is I am able to let you know what the numbers are. Now, let's see. For example, any of my numbers called out, well, yeah, there was a Sun 16 Aries. What does that do? Well, I have a Mars at 15 Libra, which the Sun has been opposed to. Now, a lot of times when we go through Mars transits that are oppositions, because Mars oftentimes is a relationship planet, we break up. Our relationships end. So I had a Sun-Mars opposition recently. That's something interesting. What else does the Sun in Aries do? Well, Sun 16 Aries, it trines my Sun in Leo at 18 Leo. It trines my Mercury in Leo at 18 Leo. It trines my Pluto in Leo at 14 Leo. So that's Sun in Aries. That's why all my 10th house planets are trined. I'm going to be on television tonight. In case you were wondering, on Fox Channel 11, The Late Show at 11:30 p.m., I'll be on with John Mulrooney and Jessica Wagner and also Jessica Walters, sorry, and Al Lewis, the Grandpa Munster. We're going to all be on tonight, The Late Show. So I'm having all these career trines. See how you figure that? Now, Mercury in Aries is at 1 degree. That just got finished square my Uranus. Another insurance problem. I'm getting double billed from my insurance company in Texas. And when Mercury, which is a planet of communication, goes into that zone of influence and squares my Uranus and my Venus, because this is costing me money, and Mercury will square my Venus in a few days at 5 Cancer. You know, Aries squares Cancer. And actually, that could also show problems with women, too, which may be something current in my life. So we really identify by knowing what every degree in the zodiac does to any one planet in our chart. And this is not something you're going to get overnight. Now, also, Venus at 2 Gemini. Now, that doesn't do anything to my chart because I don't have anything early in any sign. In fact, the first planet I have that's early is Neptune at 10 Libra. So I won't get a Venus trine for about 3-4 days until Venus goes about 6-7 Libra and starts trining my 10 Neptune in Libra. See? Now, Mars is 29 Capricorn, which is 5 signs away from my Uranus at 29 Gemini. So there's a quinx. I'm having a Mars quinx Uranus. And when Mars goes into Aquarius at 5 degrees, it'll quinx and in conjunct my Venus, too. And once again, here's this insurance problem. Lots of paperwork, lots of details, lots of charts that need to be done. So what I want you, the astrology student and the listener of the Astrology Hour, is to be able to one day pick up these transits when I call out these numbers and look in your chart to see if you have any numbers that I'm calling off. And like I say, if you have anything at 16 anything, then the Sun is going to be affecting you right now at 16 Aries. You just have to count. That's why I tell you, learn your signs in order. Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, Leo, Virgo, Libra, Scorpio, Sag, Capricorn, Aquarius, Pisces. Know there's 30 degrees to each sign. Know they make a full circle at 360 degrees. Know that if you have a planet going through space at 16 Aries, that it affects every planet in all of our charts at 16 anything. Like I say, one sign away a semi-sextile, 2 signs away a sextile, 3 signs away a square, 4 signs away a trine, 5 signs away an inconjunct or a quinx, 6 signs away an opposition, and right on top of our planet, a conjunction. So this is the way predictive astrology works. Like people wonder, how do you know about career? How do you know about relationships? How do you know about residence or health or marriage or sex life or patterns or cycles? Because I know the zones of influence. And when people call me up on the phone, I can look at their zones right away and see things coming in the future. Now, in the meantime, a lot of you out there may be listening to this show, obviously extremely confused. That's why I'm frightened to do these advanced shows in the Astrology Hour, because maybe it is difficult to teach a complicated subject without a chalkboard in front of you so you can see it. But I would also appreciate some of your comments, too. If you do enjoy a topic like this, then let me know. Okay, so anyway, like I was saying, this is a transit topic. And we always talk about planets in the sky transiting in aspect to planets in our chart. Like a moving planet in the sky, like the moon in Scorpio, would be square to or opposed to or trine to or conjunct to a planet in your chart. See, there's two ways to read aspects. You either talk about aspects in the natal chart by saying that the moon is square this or the sun is opposed this or Mercury is in conjunct that or whatever, or you talk about the other chart, the transit chart. See, because all of us have two charts, basically. If you really want to get astrology down pat, there's the birth chart, the chart you were born with. and all the aspects that are frozen in your chart that remain the same your whole life. Then there's your other chart, the Oneness of God chart, I call, which is all of our chart, the transit chart, the moving planets in the sky, the planets that move on a daily basis are the report that I give out on the show every day. And that's the one that helps trigger the natal chart. See, the natal chart is like the circuit board, the fixed circuit board, and the transit chart is like the trigger, or the electricity that helps impel and compel the entity that beholds the natal chart to sort of be vibed into certain karmic situations for evolution, growth, pain, suffering, expansion, pleasure, whatever. So to really understand how your life works, you have to get your transits down. Follow the news at 12 noon when I give the planetary news every day. Learn your numbers. You know, if you really want to get this topic down, memorize your planets by sign and by degree of sign. Get your numbers down. There's only 11 planets in the chart that you need memorized besides the North Node. Maybe you want to know the North Node too, which you can also learn. But there's the Sun, the Moon, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto, right? And your rising and your North Node. That's 12 things. So you memorize all those 12 numbers. That way, when I call numbers on the news, if I call a number that's within 2 or 3 degrees of a number in your chart, then you'll go, ah, I'm having a transit. It doesn't have to be in the same sign. It can be in any sign. But if I call a planet off that's within 2 to 3 numbers in closeness, like if I call a planet at 10 somewhere, and you have anything from 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, or 13 in your chart, you are having a transit. And that's really the point of today's topic. Because I'm trying to let you know about your transits, when these events happen in your life, what these zones of influence are all about. And if you have your numbers down, then you can't miss, you can't fail to understand how astrology really works. And then eventually you will become the master astrologer by getting your transits down. Hope that makes sense. You know, there's different kind of people that study astrology. You know, I like to sort them out in levels of consciousness or levels of awareness. I think people that are into sun sign astrology are like level 2 people. Level 1 people are people that don't even believe in astrology. People into sun sign astrology, at least they accept it or believe in it, they're level 2. Level 3 people are people that'll get their charts done. But that's it. They'll look into astrology, they'll listen to the show. Level 4 people actually memorize their planets by sign and degree. They memorize their aspects. They follow their transits. They're into understanding compatibility. And you get to level 4 people, these people are also qualifying to be astrologers and astrology teachers and people into their higher levels of consciousness, the intuitive mind. Level 5 people are astrologers. They are teachers. When you start getting to level 6 and level 7 people, you're getting into messianic qualities already. People rising up above the illusion of separation because they've mastered the illusion by understanding astrology as a science. See, so this topic on zones of influence, I know it might seem complicated and complex, but God bless those of you that recorded it, that will listen to it over and over again till it finally sinks in what I'm talking about. Because when you finally get it, and you finally do memorize your planets and it does sink in, and you start to feel your zones of influence, wow, will you be able to have a major edge on how life works, on how the vibration that affects this dimension works. Because I'll tell you something, I'm not fooled by anything anymore. Whenever something happens in my life, the reason why I let it roll off my back, and believe me, as sensitive as a person as I used to be, or can be, or as vulnerable as I can be, it's tough for me to be shattered anymore. It's a lot easier for me to go through a Saturn return, or go through a midlife crisis, or go through a makeup breakup with relationship, or God forbid even a death in the family or whatever, a death of a friend, because I'm following my transits, I got my zones of influence down, and when something happens, I can feel my chart, look at where the planets are, and say, wow, there it is right there in my chart. The Sun opposed Mars, the Sun trying all my 10th house planets, a possible relationship major problem, and also a career surge, a money and insurance problem from Mercury, and boom, it's all there in the planets. So I don't sit there and worry about it, I just process the stuff. Because worrying about it just postpones the whole crap. Okay, Dorothy has a question. Hi, Dorothy.
Hi.
How's one of my meditators doing?
We're enjoying doing it.
Oh, really? Are you getting any results?
Yes.
All right. What's your question?
My question concerns mutual reception.
All right.
Okay. Uranus and Mars in my chart are in mutual reception. The Sun is hitting Uranus today. It also...
Well, what sign is Uranus in?
Aries.
Okay, so Mars would be in Aquarius, right?
Mars is in Aquarius at 19.
Okay. Now, let me explain to people what mutual reception is. Mutual reception means that one planet is in the sign that another planet rules, and the other planet is in the sign that that planet rules. Did you know that?
I knew that part.
Okay.
What effect is the Sun hitting the Uranus And at the same time, it sextiles the Mars, and they're in mutual reception.
Could be one of the best days of the year for you.
Plus, Chris and I have, at 17 degrees Leo, his Pluto, my Jupiter. Got a big trine today.
Well, obviously, you're going to be excited about me being on television tonight, probably. And
I thought it was last night. I was going blind.
Well, they promoted it for last night on Channel 11, I heard. But I don't know. It's on tonight, 11:30, Channel 11. And with this transit you're having, you could definitely discover a pot of gold or something exciting or fantastic could happen in your life for sure.
Some money over to Westwood and get my lotto numbers.
Maybe a good idea. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Catherine is a Leo born on my nephew's birthday. Hello, Catherine, August 22nd, 45.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Okay.
My question is, I've had a real bad sick spell since last July. I want to know when I'm getting better.
You mean you've been unhealthy?
Yes.
Have you been crying?
Not really, no. I'm an optimist.
Well, maybe you should cry. Because in a chart like yours, sometimes, in fact, I heard on the show before mine, this health nutritionist, Maureen Murphy, was talking about how when you cry, it's been found that you expelled the stress hormone. And also I've heard before psychics admit, and my own guide agrees, that the death hormone and the disease hormone is expelled much more when people cry. Now, some people have problems crying, and I see you have an Aquarius moon, which may think it's a cockeyed optimist, but also with Saturn in Cancer, you may tend to either turn the other cheek or hold too much in. Saturn in Cancer sometimes has difficulty in crying and expressing sadness and grief. And this metaphysically will manifest as an imbalance or what we call a dis-ease or an illness in the chart. Now, when I was very sick and I was healed by a miracle in a meditation, I cried a puddle and drenched my shirt and pants and there was a puddle on the floor and realized the stress of a lifetime had been dumped for me in order to renew that glow of health. So I'm not a doctor, but maybe you can take my advice and try to get into some sadness there, whether it's astrological or not. I think it would help you promote your health and your aura, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Karen, a Sag with Leo rising. Hi, Karen.
Hi.
How are you?
God, I was just crying over that last phone call.
Were you really? I don't feel so good either. No. What?
I'm an emotional person.
Well, you know, if I don't have a good tearjerker regular, like I saw this movie, The Seventh Sign, which was about the end of the world. Uh-huh. But I have to tell people, it was one of the best movies I've ever seen, and it had a happy ending, and it wasn't scary. And I want to tell you something. Everybody in that theater with a soul was crying like a baby. Like, I had to stand up in tears and turn around to see hundreds of people crying. And I almost said, I was like, God bless all of you, you know? And, you know, it's so healthy. There's so many times in life.
And I really need it today, I tell you.
How many times when I was a little boy, people say, well, don't cry, especially you tell that to babies, you know? Like, can you? When I see a baby crying, I go, God bless it. That's a healthy baby that cries, you know? Get those tears out. Get that stress out. It wants to cry for an hour. Let it do it, you know?
Exactly what's happening to me today.
Oh, really? You've been crying a lot, huh? So maybe we should sell Astrology Hour crying towels around here. I had a real heartbreaker once, and I know I really loved that girl because I cried like a baby every day for about 6 months. And actually, I was crying for everything. I was crying for the world, for my friends, for poor people, starving people with AIDS and everything.
Yeah.
But I sure felt good after that.
I really need it.
I sent her a thank you card, too.
I'm home from work today, and I need it.
That made you cry, huh?
I did cry.
Too bad that other lady didn't cry. You're a Scorpio moon, so you hold a lot of things in, too.
Yeah, that's right.
So what do you want, a general scan?
Yeah, a general scan.
Well, Okay, let's see what your zones of influence are, then. Sun at 16 Aries is moving into a zone at 21 Aries that will trine your Mercury. And Mercury rules the mind, so you are shown creative input, imagination, creativity. Good time for planning and goals and having fun, laughing too. So you might be doing some of that. And then, what's the other zone? Mercury at Aries right now is 1 degrees. That's trine your Uranus. That's in a zone of influence. Your Uranus is at 2 Leo. So you're showing good time with friends. Also excellent for goal planning and getting things accomplished in your life. And, I think overall, if you don't worry so much about everything, because Jupiter and Virgo in your natal chart, we know how worried you can get. Gosh, those people with Jupiter and Virgo, boy, they freak me out sometimes. I'm thinking, well, lighten up. I don't know how to be light. I got Jupiter and Virgo, you know?
I'm having a real problem right now with someone at work.
You are?
Yes.
If you want to ask a question about work, I would think, I'm surprised you're still working because you were shown a possible breakup there.
Really?
You should be your own boss with a chart like yours.
I should be, huh?
Yeah. Good luck. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Cry for me, too. Let's go to Kathy, another Sag with Scorpio rising. Hi, Kath.
Hi. talk to you.
What can we do for you today?
Well, I'm just calling about a general scan and how it relates to the transits.
Oh, okay. So you'd like to know. Actually, people can call for their zones of influence if they want today, just like you are. Now, the Sun is in Aries at 16 degrees, and it is moving opposition your Mars in Libra, just like your Mars is close to mine. Are you having a relationship problem this week?
Well, not exactly. I just finished a relationship, and I'm like in that space where I'm freed up and
okay.
Positive change, but I'm kind of curious about what's coming and void.
Yeah, Venus is in Gemini, and in about 2-3 weeks, it's going to conjunct your Jupiter in Gemini, and then it'll trine your Neptune in Libra, so you're being given something very special. Venus will also trine your Mars, so you're shown an opening for a new man, and possibly for some financial gain or a surge in your life, possibly in career, because when Venus goes over Jupiter, there's a very powerful effect. And when they try Neptune, sometimes a dream comes true.
Oh, wonderful.
Okay?
What's the date around?
It could happen any time between now and the next 3 weeks.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Let's go to Roger, a longtime member, and he is a Capricorn Libra rising. Hey, Raj.
Hi, Farley. It's nice to talk to you again. It's been a long time.
You still listen to the show, huh?
Whenever I can. It's not as often as I used to, but
it's been
I still love it.
4 years, you know. You've been listening that whole time.
I'm having a little more trouble than usual making decisions. I have transiting Neptune exactly conjunct my Sun Mercury. I'll tell you why I'm calling today.
No, exactly square your Sun Mercury. Right?
Exactly conjunct Neptune Capricorn, exactly conjunct Sun Mercury.
Oh, right, and it's square your Neptune. Okay, I got it, yeah. Yeah, I think you would have a few problems making decisions.
I'm thinking of going into a business relationship with somebody born May 6, 1962. Now, the reason I'm...
Well, now, wait a second, Roger. I don't like partnerships with Capricorn, Libra, stress, natally, at all.
Well, it's more like he has a company that I think I might be working as an independent contractor for.
Okay.
I'd be running my own business, but he's sort of the overseer. The question is this.
What's his birthday again?
May 6, 62.
Okay.
Now, I looked at his chart. His Sun exactly conjuncts my 8th house cusp, which is great. In other words, there's some good things, some bad things. His Venus trines my Venus.
That's great.
But his Saturn conjuncts my Venus.
That's not good.
I know. So in other words, there's good things, bad things. His Pluto conjuncts my Mars. His Jupiter opposes my Mars.
Well, I like the fact that his Saturn conjuncts your Venus and trines your Neptune.
Yes.
Which, it could be a karmic relationship, but you're still shown gain financially.
So the fact that his Saturn sitting on my Venus doesn't necessarily mean it wouldn't work out financially.
In the long run, you may get hurt, but in the meantime, you could be on a roll. I would just be cautious and protect yourself.
Okay.
You know, I wouldn't let too many residual payments go past due. Make sure you get paid for what you do immediately.
Right.
Okay?
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye. David is a Taurus with Virgo rising. Yo, Dave.
Hi, Polly.
How are you?
Okay. I've got a couple of questions. I'm just kind of picking up on your topic and trying to follow things here. My son's a 16 Taurus.
Right.
Does that affect the Sun in Aries at all?
Yeah, it's one sign away. It's a semi-sextile. Yeah, it would be called Sun, semi-sextile, your own Sun. A semi-sextile is a minor aspect, but it's an uplifting one. I like them.
Uh-huh.
It's better than having no aspect at all.
I see. What about if your rising sign? I've got a Virgo 22, and isn't the rise? It's Cancer rising 22, I believe. Was that what you would...
Cancer rising is 15.
Oh, okay, so that...
Yeah. The rising doesn't affect much in the news. It just lets people know what the entity rising is at 12 noon in case they happen to get an idea. See, like, to figure rising signs, you would just change signs every 2 hours.
I see.
So if I announce Cancer rising at 15 at 12 noon, and let's say you're doing something at 8 p.m. tonight,
mm-hmm.
you know, like I'm doing a show at 7 p.m., the late show, we're recording it.
Mm-hmm.
So I would go 12 to 2. By 2 o'clock, it would be Leo 15. At 4 o'clock, it would be Virgo 15. At 6 o'clock, it would be Libra 15. Then by 7 o'clock, it would be about Scorpio 0.
Mm.
So you can figure rising signs by going every 2 hours and then going a full 30 degrees plus or minus. That's why when I give the rising sign out at 12 noon, I give them that so they can calculate the 2-hour formula.
I see.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
All right.
Also on the orbs... Is it a 2 or 3 degree orb, or is it about a 7 degree?
Most astrologers believe for most transit aspects, at least for the hard transits, like oppositions, squares, conjunctions, also trines, sometimes sextiles, it's 4 degrees approaching
mm-hmm.
and 2 passing.
Okay.
And, of course, for the inconjunct, for the quinks, it would be 3 degrees approaching and 2 passing.
I see.
Something like that.
I see.
Okay, hey, those are good questions, Dave. Thank you for participating in the topic.
I'll be watching you tonight.
All right, guy. Bye-bye. Stephen is, I think, a Taurus. Hi, Stephen.
Hi.
Should I check to see if you're an Aries or a Taurus?
Sure.
You've been living all your life in wonderment, huh?
That's right.
Well, okay, what do you think it is?
I guess I would say more Aries.
Well, loser, you're definitely a Taurus.
Oh, you're kidding.
The sun changed signs on the 20th. But all this time you thought you were an Aries, huh?
Yeah.
Well, let's see if you have anything in Aries just for fun, Stephen. You have a Pisces moon, Mercury in Taurus, Venus in Pisces, Mars in Leo. Ah, Jupiter's in Aries, so you have one big planet in Aries. So there is an Aries side to you. But when you get your chart, you'll be amazed because now you know you're a Taurus.
Oh, cool.
And you are shown powerful luck vibrations now and tremendous psychic intuition. Can you read people's minds sometimes?
All the time. In fact, you know what? When you were giving your address for the starter package,
yeah,
I swear I kept going, wait, say the address one more time. And then you'd say it, and then I'd go, wait, what was that zip code? And then you'd repeat the zip code. I don't know. It's just really lately, especially.
Steve, so how does it look for me on the show tonight? Is it going to be cool?
Oh, yeah.
How's my love life look, guy? Look into that.
I don't know. That's why I'm calling you.
We should help each other. People with Venus and Pisces are so psychic. I love it. Yeah, well, you know, you probably know a lot of women, huh?
Yeah.
You've been through some, huh? You want to share with us the number of women you've been involved with, Steve? No, I'm just kidding. That's personal. You are shown being able to attract a lot of women. But you see, you can always tell when they're not going to work, and you might tend to bail out or reject them or run away if you sense danger ahead.
Well, see, there's like... That's where the conflict's coming from, because I do attract a lot of women, but, you know, I'm not really interested.
Are you gay?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was another thing I was thinking about, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, isn't that weird? Yeah. It's funny how women go after all the gay men. They're like, hey, go away, dog, you bother me. I'm just kidding. But, you know, as far as men goes, boy, you have a lot of karma with guys. You have a Mars square Neptune in your chart. When it's arm's length casual, it's okay. When it's commitment, I think you like to be a little bit in control. You know, you might intimidate her or freak some people out, scare them away.
Right.
So isn't it funny how you have a lot better karma with women, but being gay like that,
yeah,
you can blow some away.
Right.
So I don't know. It's a long road, but it should feature lots of adventure for you. Okay, Stephen, thank you.
I'll see you tonight, Farley.
Okay. Be there.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. You know, I'm pretty excited about today because of the television show, but I'm also excited because I've called off the earthquake in May. A lot of people have been panicking and moving and getting earthquake insurance, and I just don't think astrologically there's going to be a quake. And that's why I'm going to be on the Late Show tonight, is because I'm going to announce that. Now, there may be a quake in April, though. You know, there's more of a potential for there to be an earthquake in April, frankly. And because of that, I'm going to be talking about that tonight on the Late Show, which dates are actually more liable for that quake. Have a nice day, and we'll see you real soon, weekdays in the Fox at 12 noon.